ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य
चैतन्य
नित्यानन्द सहोदित गौराये पुष्पवन्तो शीतोषण्डो तमोनुदो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द यद्वैत गदाथ इवाशति गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Sometimes our spiritual life is like this, a struggle, and we are defeated even. Today I wish to talk a little bit on the active principle in spiritual life, which is mercy. In the fifth canto, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada says, in spiritual life, the active principle to the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I would like to speak a little bit about this in the light of our pilgrimage. Madhavananda Prabhu was guiding us to different holy tirthas in here in Utkala, and after this journey he naturally wants to know what has stuck to my patient, what has he realized. And therefore I thought this evening I would speak a little bit on what we have realized after this pilgrimage. And speak a little bit from the heart. In this way, I hope the two things are accomplished. First of all, that it is not too difficult and easy to follow what I say. After all, it is evening time, and we had a long days with many impressions after or behind us. And second of all, that it is a little bit personal and hopefully relevant to all of you. In our conditioned material existence, let us start there, we are accustomed to arrange our life as good as possible. When the evening comes, as the threat of mosquitoes is there, we have our mosquito repellent with us, which will help us to survive. When we get up out of our bed, we have our arrangement, we know where our cloth is, we know where the bathroom is with its water. We know how to survive. When we are confronted by others and shown our mistakes, we can defend ourselves and say, Prabhu, it is not like this. I have a Shastic Brahman that I am right. We know how to defend ourselves. In this world, we naturally have learned to arrange circumstances in such a way that our life is free from miseries. We have tried to do this. We have failed, but of course our psychology conveniently covers up our pathetic failures to get happiness, and we try to give ourselves and others the impression that we are more or less in control of our lives. This controlling spirit born out of the desire to enjoy this material world, it's natural because the soul is always superior to dull matter, and therefore it is a natural tendency to use the mind and intelligence to manipulate matter in such a way that I am not at least in the least disturbed. The Gita, Lord Krishna explains this superiority of the soul over matter in a very interesting verse, which goes like this: Indriyani paranyahur indriyebhyah param namaha manasas tu para buddhir yo buddhe paratas sukaha. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. So that our Abhiram is not bought. I will give you a little example of what this means. See, now I can, these senses, the working senses, my hand, can pick up this matter, this is dull matter, and use it in some ways. It is never seen that the metal will influence my hand and tell it what to do. No, no. Always the working senses are higher than dull matter. But my mind is higher than the senses. I may have the feel the need to make this noise, but my mind says, no, you're giving a lecture, you should not make this noise. How do you look? You look like a fool from Germany. You don't do it. Save your prestige. This is maybe not a function of the mind, but a function of the intelligence. The intelligence is higher than the mind. Mind might get to the sign, use this dull matter, but the intelligence says, no, this is not the right time now. Later you can play if you wish. So the soul is higher than the intelligence. In other words, this is a succession of control. The control goes from the higher to the lower. From the soul, it goes to the intelligence, to the mind, to the senses, and then down it up. Because I'm from the higher region, I'm from the soul region, I'm spiritual, I always will have the desire to control. You can see this in this world also. Someone is a little bit more intelligent than another person. That intelligent person will never allow himself to fall under the control of the less intelligent. The higher will always control the lower. An intelligent person will always have difficulties to surrender into an institution, for instance, in systems, in structures. Intelligent person will always try to establish in some ways superiority, because it is a matter, it is the nature of the higher to control the lower. It must be like this. Now, when you come to spiritual life, this controlling spirit must be given up. And it must be given up because you are not higher. You are not in a superior position. I just read a few days ago a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita which describes the spiritual world. That says the earth, the water, the fire, the ear, and the ether of Vaikuntha are all spiritual. Material elements are not found there. In other words, just like here in this world, the soul is the higher thing and in control, there even a piece of dust is on the level of you. You can't control it. It's totally spiritual. Ananda Chinmaya. It's totally spiritual. Now, to entertain those of my listeners who want to hear a little Krishna Katha, I will give you an example from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur about the rice in Goloka Vrindavan. Once the rice, no, the milk, rice over rice. The rice is also a good example. No, let us stick to the rice. The rice was cooked, and he felt enthusiastic. He felt enthusiastic. I am getting cooked. I am prepared for Krishna's enjoyment. Was very happy because soon he would enter the mouth of the Lord. So when he was getting, Mother Yashoda had prepared him, and the rice was there as a pile. Some very good ghee was put on the rice from the Padma Ganda cow. Padma means lotus, and Ganda means smell like lotus. The milk smells like lotus. You can imagine the ghee is super lotus smell ghee. And that ghee was put on the rice, and it melted into the rice. Now the rice was ready to be consumed by the Lord. It was eaten by the Lord. It was coming into the body of the Lord. And there it developed feelings of separation. Now I'm in the Lord. My service has stopped. I want to serve my Lord again. And in this way the rice, which is all conscious, like the soul, it's not like dal metta, which just gets shuffled around and manipulated and thrown into the stomach and then finished. The riot developed a strong desire to serve the Lord again, and it came out of the body of the Lord into the pot, and again was served in a second helping, and again was enriched with the ghee from the Padma Ganda cows to serve the Lord. This was not meant to be a nice entertaining story. It made a very deep philosophical point. Everything in the spiritual world is of that higher nature, that conscious nature, like the soul. And therefore, no problem. And therefore, if you wish to enter that spiritual world, you can't go there with a controlling spirit. You must agree to be controlled. Haribol. That world can be reached not by your own endeavors, Abhiram. Your own work, your own hard labor and intelligent endeavors. That world can be reached only by surrender. Hare Krishna. Now, to teach this part of surrender, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared. Do you know that between you and the Lord there is a Himalaya mountain? This Himalaya mountain, it is this is not how the Shastras say. The Brahma Vaivata Purana explains that it is a mountain, yes, but of false ego. Aham mameti. We are used to control, because this is how we work in this material world. We are higher, the spirit soul, and we are somehow trying to manipulate our life. That we miserably fail is another story, an unacknowledged story, unfortunately. So it is this false ego, this desire, this aham mameti, which is between us and the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful incarnation of the Lord, came and he built a road through this mountain of false ego. This road is called the path of surrender. Let us hear this song from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Well, we can sing it out together in great happiness. It is called in the songbook. The first line is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jiva Daya Kori. You know, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. It's in this songbook. It is on page 68 in this songbook. Have you found it, Rasikananda Prabhu? You have another Rasi? Can you show? Yeah. What do you? Please show me your songbook, Rasikananda Prabhu. No, Jiva Daya Kori. Please show me your songbook.
Same version.
Yes, you have it, but it's the old version. You can, there must be in the very end of it, there must be.
Yes, here it is.
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jiva Daya Kari Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jiva Daya Kari Kapala Sare Viyada Namasta Bhavatari Namasta Bhavatari Ajanta Dulabha Prema Tori Bharadana Ajanta Dulabha tera prana
ikaya sara gati baka tera prana
danya tane vedana sate seva Palana Anushakti Ve Krishna Vishwaja Palana Bhakti Anukula Matre Kayera Vakara Prati Kula Bhava Prajangangi Kala
Prati Kula Bhava Prajangangi Kala
Charanga Charana Gati Haive Jana Nanda Kumara Rupa
sanatana pade kone tetne ke
Translation is, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, bringing mercy for all the living beings, descended with his own divine abode and personal associates, to bestow freely that rarest treasure, prema bhakti, spontaneous love. He taught charanagati, the life and soul of the devotees. Now comes the process of charanagati, it is explained. Humility. Please repeat. Humility. Self-dedication.
Self-dedication.
Accepting him as one's only maintainer and guardian. Having complete conviction that Krishna will surely protect us. Accepting things favorable for devotional service. And rejecting the unfavorable. Thank you. One who submits unconditionally to this so sixfold surrender has his prayers heard by the divine son of Sri Nanda. Do you want that Krishna hears your prayer? Naturally. What to do? You should try to accept things which are favorable for your devotional service and reject the unfavorable. You should try to be humble, self-dedicated, and accept Krishna as your maintainer. He takes care of you and your garden, your family man, your family father. Then, when you are in this mood, Krishna will listen to your prayers. Otherwise, well, of course he can hear, but he will not listen. So, with a straw in his teeth, Bhaktivinoda prostrates before Sri Rupa and Sanatan Goswami's, embracing both their lotus. Lamenting, he cries out, "I am so low and fallen. Teach me unconditional surrender and make me a first-class Vaishnava." Hare Krishna. Good, isn't it? So, now, you will ask yourself, how will we ever get there? How will we ever surrender to Krishna? How will we ever become enthusiastic to go this path? It seems so difficult sometimes. The answer is, that's a very deep and very, very enchanting and very dear, endearing. To give you this answer, I want to tell you of a very, very nice and loving instruction which was given. See, Kadama Muni was ordered by the Lord to marry. He was an ascetic. He lived in the forest. He shunned with Teja. He was like a sun in the dark forest. Then Lord Vishnu came one day and said, I wish that you marry and that you will give thought and you will give good progeny, that one of your sons, your last son, he will be an incarnation of me. Kapila. He will explain the knowledge which brings, which leads to me. So Kadama Muni accepted, and a little later a very qualified, beautiful marriage was made. The emperor Svayambhuva Manu came and offered his daughter Devahuti to the saint. Devahuti was so beautiful that once when she was playing with a ball on top of the palace, a devata went over with his airplane and he fell from the airplane because she was so beautiful. Her body was so shapely and her beauty must have been a very extraordinary event in the sightseeing of the devata. He fell down from the airplane. So Devahuti was married and served her husband. And then after Kadama Muni had placed this powerful seed into her womb, first there were daughters, but then Kapila was the Devahuti. He said, I will leave you now and go back to the forest. He said, no, please don't do this. I was so engaged in serving you that I forgot something very important. I forgot to ask you about spiritual knowledge. I forgot totally. I was so much engrossed in being with you, serving you. Please, you instruct me in the most important subject matter. Kadama Muni said, no, I will have to leave now. But do not worry. Inside of you, there is Kapila Dev. I have heard this from Vishnu himself. And Kapila Dev will do the instructions. So she was somewhat solid. She developed all the symptoms of a full-grown pregnancy and soon had this beautiful child, Kapila. Again, all her motherly affection went into taking care of the son, until the son also said, Mother, I'm going to leave you. That moment, by this shock, the son saying, Mother, I'm going to leave you, remembering her husband, Kadama Muni, who had left her. She said this beautiful word, I am fallen in the material world. My senses are like snakes. I am the dark. You are my guiding eye, which can show me. I'm blind to the ignorant. You are my guiding eye, which can show me. Please instruct me. Then Kapila sat down and instructed this wonderful mother, Devahuti, in the knowledge of self-realization. He proved how he is indeed the eye of which helps Mother Devahuti to see. And he explained many things, but amongst the many things, he said something very, very important for our question. Our question is, how will we ever go on this path of Sharanagati and cross this impassable mountain which is between us and the Lord? He said one very nice verse, which I'm sure you have either experienced or learned by heart. Satang prasanga mama viya sandhu bhavanti hitana rasayana katha dhyoshanat ashvapavagavatni shraddha pakkaratiya swakti anukramishvati. Yes. This is in the association of devotees, hearing about the Supreme Lord, then Rati, or beginning stage of love, and finally bhakti of prema to Krishna. If you want to surrender to Krishna, my dear devotees, you need to go this path. You need to learn this path. From Shraddha to Rati, which is first beginning in the form of a little attraction to the Lord, Ruchi, and then it comes more and more into full-grown Rati, which is Bhava Bhakti, and then finally, Rati is another word for Bhava, then you get Prema. You need this to surrender. See, before you sit an unfortunate product of a German family life, my father told me that the Germans were forced at the end of the World War II to surrender to the alien forces. Is there Russians, Americans, Russians, British, and French as well. They were the Germans who were such mischief mongers that they had started this World War, were forced to surrender. And this forced surrender, my father was explained how German soldiers, he was one of the last fighters, they were driven together in a field somewhere in Russia, like sheep, and they were fenced in, and they had to live for 1 week in the blasting sun, burning sun. They were sanitary conditions were beyond mentioning. But they had fully signed a surrender pact. But the only thought which they had is, how can we escape this situation of surrender? They made the most incredible arrangement to surrender, and my father and about 20 finally fled from this camp to start a little war somewhere else. this forced surrender, this is my point, will always be partial or incomplete. It won't work. When you are surrendering in Krishna consciousness like this, because by your intelligence, which is higher than your mind, you force yourself, it won't work. If you surrender out of, because of any forced reason, it won't work. You can only surrender to Lord Krishna if there is faith which develops into Rati and then into Bhakti. Otherwise, you will not be able to surrender. Believe me, it won't work. Krishna waits until we surrender out of love. He is not impressed if we do it out of force. He wishes to taste that love. We just come from Jagannath Puri, and I wish to illustrate what I've just this last point with a little very nice and interesting story. At some time, Lord Jagannath never received any khichdi offering, because khichdi is the poor man's food, rice and dal. But since I do not know which time, khichdi is a must. He will not eat unless and until khichdi is offered. Listen how this came to pass. There was once a man, a devotee, who had a very unfortunate family background. When the Muslims were terrorizing Orissa, one general was in the custom to spend the night with a lovely maiden of Orissa for sense gratificatory purposes. And this general had some part of his army look for a beautiful girl for each night. And one day they saw this devotee of the Lord doing bhajan and mataji, who had very nice beautiful features, and they captured her with force and brought her to the general, who forced her to accept his lust, as a result of the combination, a very unfortunate boy was born to the girl. The girl was thrown like rubbish to the side after she had lost her chastity, she gave birth to this child, and because the custom at that time was quite intense, she had to live on the side of the town, a very neglected part of the town. So this boy developed into a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. He had no other person to turn to than Lord Jagannath. When he became elderly, he just did bhajan of Lord Jagannath and offered his foodstuffs, which he could afford, to Lord Jagannath. His foodstuff was, of course, khichdi, the poor man's food. So the Lord was so attracted to the love of this particular devotee that he came personally out of the temple to accept this offering of khichdi and eat it with great relish. One day, and before his midday meal, because this devotee would offer this foodstuff before the big midday offering. So that he was hoping that the Lord would eat it, when he was still hungry, and there was no point for him to offer it afterwards, because the Lord was full at that time. Why should he take khichdi? So he did it before. Yeah. Now one day he was late. I do not know, maybe the wood did not burn so nicely, or maybe he did not get his provision together in time. He was late. The Lord came, quickly sat down, and began to eat his offering of khichdi. And after he had finished eating, without washing the hands or the mouth, he ran back to his temple to eat the main offering of food. But he was late, as I said, and not properly cleansed in the mouth. So when he just quickly turned up on the altar, so that no one noticed, and quickly turned up, the panda who was offering the main meal saw that there was khichdi still sticking to the red lotus leaf lips of the mouth, and he was totally, what is this? He was looking, khichdi. Which crazy man climbed on the altar to smear his khichdi on the mouth of the Lord? He was very incensed, He tried many things to find out. Finally, he went to the assembly of Pandavas and said, this is a scandal, and we must hold someone responsible. It's the head pujari. He has allowed this, or he is responsible that our Lord was almost defiled like this. So they went to the king. The king was also angry and put the head panda, the head pujari, into the prison to punish him. In the night, Lord Jagannath appeared to the king and said, my dear king, it is a mistake. It is a mistake. It is a mistake. This Khitri accident is coming due to my own desire. I have a devotee who lives outside of town who is so devoted to me that his offering is really full of love and devotion. And I have always come leaving my altar, leaving my palace on Nila Chal Hill to accept his offering only. From now on, I do not wish to be so inconvenient. I wish that this devotee comes and cooks every day a meal of khichdi and it is offered before the main offering. I want to eat. And this is done today. And those who are relishers of Mahaprasad, like some of you have correctly remarked that our bellies are not the bellies of poor men. They are in good shape, well rounded. That is because we ate 2 days ago a feast of Lord Jagannath, which was minimum as voluminous as this ton here. Minimum. We ate so it was so much variety, and we were not successful in stopping. Our intelligence was not successful in stopping our senses, so we ate liberally, and therefore we have all well-rounded stomachs. And we had khichdi. The khichdi is still in the offering. It is still done after this very day. The Lord, this is the main point here, wants our love. He is not interested so much in a forced surrender. He wants that what we do is that our surrender is carried by some type of love and affection and so on. Very, very important. Now, all of you, ask yourself, how much love do you have in your heart for Krishna? It's a very important question. How attached are you to Krishna? How are you thinking of pleasing Krishna in your life, doing something for his pleasure? Please remember that this is the only that this is a spiritual mentality, to think no longer of manipulating everything around you for your enjoyment, but to be a dedicated soul. It's a good question. See, this process of Krishna consciousness will remain totally dependent on Krishna. Because Krishna is the highest of the spiritual world. He is the origin of everything, Savakarana Karanam, and he is the one who takes our spiritual life into his hands. The mercy of Krishna will help even a blind man to see. It's so powerful. It's not your own qualification. It's Krishna's doing which will do something in your spiritual life. Krishna is interested, will turn towards you when you have love in your heart. He becomes attracted, he is only attracted to this particular thing. And this love will arise in your heart if you come into the association of devotees, patiently here in their kind association, and watch how your faith becomes more and grows into Rati, and then into bhakti. And this is the process which is given in our scripture. And then the Lord, when he sees even a little of that faith and love, he can even make a blind man see. It goes so fast, the spiritual life. Once the Lord takes initiative in your life, it goes very, 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 very fast. I want to end with 2 points. One is a little illustration of this. Did you know that when Lord Krishna came for peace talks to the Kurus, Duryodhana was so angry that he took the side, apparently the side of the Pandavas, that he ordered Krishna to be captured and thrown into prison. He said to Dushasan to come and bind Krishna. Now Krishna at that time showed a partial manifestation of the universal form. Dushasan came there and wanted to attack the Lord and bind him and throw him into the prison, but there were many, many arms, not just one arm, not just 18 arms, and countless in, number of arms. So he foolishly asked, which arm should I bind, please? So some members in the assembly were more enlightened. They could see, wow, and this came to the ears of the blind Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra all of a sudden became highly active. What? Vasudeva has shown a universal form? Then he turned with his blind eyes towards Krishna. Only one time in my life, let me see your glory, please. Let me see. I cannot see. Let me see your glory. Whereas Duryodhana was busy still saying, no, Vasudeva, you're just doing some mystical yogi tricks here. His father got impressed. The blind Dhritarashtra. And Krishna said, I don't have to make you see. I don't have to give you healthy eyes. This is what I meant to say. I don't have, just by my desire you can see. Now see. Dhritarashtra, by the desire of the Lord, could see the partial manifestation of the universal form, which is something very extraordinary. The mercy of the Lord. Krishnakata is getting tired. Wake up, wake up, wake up. The mercy of the Lord is the active principle which can make even a tired man awake, a spiritually blind man seeing, a layman cross over the mountain. It is not a problem. And the Lord will give you His mercy if He sees just this little thing, that your Shraddha, faith, begins to sprout into some love. This was my last point, has not yet come. It will come now. My dear devotees, please rest assured that this must happen. Your Shraddha must sprout into love. Then you can surrender, not in a forced way, but in a voluntary and happy way. And I wish to make one, this last point. This can happen, this sprouting of our Shraddha. Oh, I'm also a Hare Krishna, I have faith in this, therefore I'm putting tilak on. This initial Shraddha can come, burn, can come into love, develop into love, if you learn to respect, to appreciate the holy name. The most accessible form of Krishna, the most closest form of Krishna, the form of Krishna you have everyday contact with. The form of Krishna who can appear every day in your life is the holy name. Krishna in the form of His holy name. If you do not learn to love the holy name, you will never love Krishna. If you continue to ignore the holy name, you will continue to ignore Krishna. If you continue to be bored while chanting the holy name, you will be bored with Krishna. The form in which Krishna appears in this most merciful form, most accessible form of Krishna, who has many, many forms, is the holy name. And your Shraddha needs to sprout into love here. Very important. And it is also easy, because by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great inconceivable mercy, this can happen. Will happen. So I have ended my talk. I hope it was thought-provoking. And relevant at times. How did you like the story of Lord Jagannath who accepted even the offering of this very unfortunate devotee? Must be celebrated. Moving, isn't it? He had the love. He cooked the khichdi out of affection. That's very proper.
This Sharanagati is sometimes it seems so unattainable, so such a exalted position of being able to actually to surrender.
Yeah.
It's so unattainable that sometimes we just think that, well, there's no hope for really to be able to surrender. At least let me be dutiful.
Yeah.
Let me just do my duty to follow the rules according to what I understand with my duty and my particular status of life, and then later on, Sharanagati, maybe that will be something I can think about later on. Mm-hmm. Will that actually happen? Will Kartavya Buddhi, will that beautiful nature, will it eventually develop into Sharanagati?
Mm-hmm. It's a very good question. I will repeat it for the tape hearing posterity. Sometimes Sharanagati seems to be so unattainable. At that time a devotee might think, let me serve at least out of duty. Now will this dutiful nature eventually blossom into Sharanagati? One Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked a similar question. He said it might not happen, because to do things out of duty is on the mental and intellectual level, but not on the spiritual level. On the spiritual level is acting out of love, not out of duty. It is duty, this type of duty which we are speaking of here is something in this world. It is born out of convention or morality or righteousness or adherence to principles and so on, but these are not spiritual but good material considerations. Good means sattvic considerations, but bhakti is not a matter of sattvic. Now this is one point to be answered. But there is another point, another perspective, which is very, very important also. And that is that acts which are from the activity which are from the spiritual platform, like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Parasevanam, these ninefold activities of the spiritual of bhakti, yeah, these activities, they have an inherent spiritual potency within them, which when done even ignorantly or unwillingly will act on the performer. This concept is behind the concept of Abhyata Sukriti, that someone just does something even unknowingly and it works on him. Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandavas gives the example of a rat who comes on the altar and there sees a givik which is just extinguishing, it's just flickering out. So the rat thinks it's a piece of eatable substance, begins to take that to eat it, and by mistake lights the givik again. Sometimes we have a givik which is just going out, and when it's put in another position it begins to burn again. So this happens, and the rat is totally astonished and begins to shake the head to get rid of this givik, which by now burns very nicely. But somehow it has got stuck to the teeth of the rat, and now the rat performs circles for satiety, and then due to intense shock dies from a heart failure. It just dies. So the rat then goes back home, goes to Vaikuntha. That's how the story ends. Why? Because it performed an arati unknowingly, involuntarily, but the act archanam was done. And this is the example which Jiva Goswami cites in order to bring forth that yes, the activities of bhakti who are full of spiritual potency, and this is Shravanam, Kirtanam, and so on, that they have a potency in themselves and bring the performer to a state from where he can do them out of a purified consciousness and slowly become involved in it. But just to do things out of duty, and mostly when we say this we mean to do our service out of duty and so on, might not bring us to the level, because it's an intellectual and mental concept. However, if we do out of duty our rounds, our reading and so on, we could come to it. That the danger of this duty is that one day even the most dutiful man will resist doing it out of duty when there is no faith. That is a problem which we have seen very often happening in our experience. That
some become, of course, in South Indian Vaishnava, the Vaishnavas, they become very expert at Vaidhi, which is simply dutifulness.
Yeah.
And they actually then go to Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
Simply out by, that's some sort of prema. That's another form of
yeah. something.
But if we just, just by the fact that we're initiated and we do our service, is that we continue that without fail, and eventually we
achieve? Yes, then we definitely will. But let us not forget, our service consists out of Shravanam Kirtanam. These are the most important instructions of the spiritual master. In other words, if we just work out of duty, which I think is not in your mind, but it has happened very often in our society, that might not carry us the full way. But if we do all these other processes of devotion service, then I, as is stated in the scriptures, they will work on us so that eventually there will be some change, for sure. I thought it was very interesting. So yes, by all means, this example of the of that wonderful rat is given by Jiva Goswami for a reason. He wants to make clear that the processes of devotional service do work, it is also a very important principle that just, I think the answer of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very nice. I read it in the question and answer session. Bhakti Charu Maharaj once printed that answer. It makes clear this answer how, what is really spiritual life, in our life. It must be done with the Atma Rati, with the affection which comes Ruchi, and then it comes more and more into full-grown Rati, which is Bhava Bhakti, and then finally, Rati is another word for Bhava, then you get Prema. You need this to surrender. See, before you sit an unfortunate product of a German family life, my father told me that the Germans were forced at the end of the World War II to surrender to the alien forces. Is there Russians, Americans, Russians, British, and French as well. They were, the Germans, who were such mischief mongers, that they had started this World War, were forced to surrender. And this forced surrender, my father was explained how German soldiers, he was one of the last fighters, they were driven together in a field somewhere in Russia, like sheep, and they were fenced in, and they had to live for 1 week in the blasting sun, burning sun. They were sanitary conditions were beyond mentioning, but they were they had fully signed a surrender pact. But the only thought which they had is, how can we escape this situation of surrender? They made the most incredible arrangements to surrender, and they. My father and about 20 finally fled from this camp to start a little war somewhere else. this forced surrender, this is my point, will always be partial or incomplete. It won't work. When you are surrendering in Krishna consciousness like this, because by your intelligence, which is higher than your mind, you force yourself. It won't work. If you surrender out of, because of any forced reason, it won't work. You can only surrender to Lord Krishna if there is faith which develops into Rati and then into Bhakti. Otherwise, you will not be able to surrender. Believe me, it won't work. Krishna waits until we surrender out of love. He is not impressed if we do it out of force. He wishes to taste that love. We just come from Jagannath Puri, and I wish to illustrate what I've just this last point with a little very nice and interesting story. At some time, Lord Jagannath never received any khichdi offering, because khichdi is the poor man's food, rice and dal. But since I do not know which time, khichdi is a must. He will not eat unless and until khichdi is offered. Listen how this came to pass. There was once a man, a devotee, who had a very unfortunate family background. When the Muslims were terrorizing Orissa, one general was in the custom to spend the night with a lovely maiden of Orissa for sense gratificatory purposes. And this general had some part of his army look for a beautiful girl for each night. And one day they saw this devotee of the Lord doing bhajan and mataji, who had very nice beautiful features, and they captured her with force and brought her to the general, who forced her to accept his lust, as a result of the combination, a very unfortunate boy was born to the girl. The girl was thrown like rubbish to the side after she was she had lost her chastity, she gave birth to this child, and because the custom at that time was quite intense, she had to live on the side of the town, a very neglected part of the town. So this boy developed into a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. He had no other person to turn to than Lord Jagannath. When he became elderly, he just did bhajan of Lord Jagannath and offered his foodstuffs, which he could afford, to Lord Jagannath. His foodstuff was, of course, khichdi, the poor man's food. So the Lord was so attracted to the love of this particular devotee that he came personally out of the temple to accept this offering of khichdi and eat it with great relish. One day, and before his midday meal, because this devotee would offer this foodstuff before the big midday offering. So he was hoping that the Lord would eat it, when he was still hungry, there was no point for him to offer it afterwards, because the Lord was full at that time. Why should he take khichdi? So he did it before. Yeah. Now one day he was late. I do not know, maybe the wood did not burn so nicely, or maybe he did not get his provision together in time. He was late. The Lord came, quickly sat down, and began to eat his offering of khichdi. After he had finished eating, without washing the hands or the mouth, he ran back to his temple to eat the main offering of the food. But he was late, as I said, and not properly cleansed in the mouth. So when he just quickly turned up on the altar so that no one noticed, huh? And quickly turned up. The panda who was offering the main meal saw that there was khichdi still sticking to the red lotus leaf lips of the mouth, and he was totally, what is this? He was looking, khichdi, which crazy man climbed on the altar to smear his khichdi on the mouth of the Lord? He was very incensed. He tried many things to find out. Finally, he went to the assembly of Pandavas and said, this is a scandal, and we must hold someone responsible. It's the head pujari. He has allowed this, or he is responsible that our Lord was almost defiled like this. So they went to the king. The king was also angry and put the head panda, the head pujari, into the prison to punish him. In the night, Lord Jagannath appeared to the king and said, my dear king, it is a mistake. It is a mistake. It is a mistake. This khichdi accident is coming due to my own desire. I have a devotee who lives outside of town who is so devoted to me that his offering is really full of love and devotion. And I have always come, leaving my altar, leaving my palace on Nila Chal Hill, to accept his offering only. From now on, I do not wish to be so inconvenienced. I wish that this devotee comes and cooks every day a meal of khichdi that is offered before the main offering. I want to eat it. And this is done today. And those who are relishers of Mahaprasad, like some of you have correctly remarked that our bellies are not the bellies of poor men. They are in good shape, well rounded. That is because we ate 2 days ago a feast of Lord Jagannath, which was minimum as voluminous as this ton here. Minimum. We ate so it was so much variety, and we were not successful in stopping. Our intelligence was not successful in stopping our senses, so we ate liberally, and therefore we have all well-rounded stomachs. Yes. And we had khichdi. The khichdi is still in the offering. It is still done up to this very day. Yes. The Lord, this is the main point here, wants our love. He is not interested so much in a forced surrender. He wants that our surrender is carried by some type of love and affection and so on. It's very, very important. Now, all of you, ask yourself, how much love do you have in your heart for Krishna? It's a very important question. How attached are you to Krishna? How are you thinking of pleasing Krishna in your life, doing something for his pleasure? Please remember that this is a spiritual mentality, to think no longer of manipulating everything around you for your enjoyment, but to be a dedicated soul. It's a good question. See, this process of Krishna consciousness will remain totally dependent on Krishna. Because Krishna is the highest of the spiritual world. He is the origin of everything, Savakarana Karanam, and He will one, and He is the one who takes our spiritual life into His hands. The mercy of Krishna will help even a blind man to see. It's so powerful. It's not your own qualification. It's Krishna's doing which will do something in your spiritual life. So Krishna is interested, will turn towards you when you have love in your heart. He becomes attracted. He is only attracted to this particular thing, and this love will arise in your heart if you come into the association of devotees patiently here in their kind association, and watch how your faith becomes more and grows into Rati and then into Bhakti. And this is the process which is given in our scripture. And then the Lord, when He sees even a little of that faith and love, He can even make a blind man see. It goes so fast, the spiritual life. Once the Lord takes initiative in your life, it goes very, 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 very fast. I want to end with 2 points. One is a little illustration of this. Did you know that when Lord Krishna came for peace talks to the Kurus, to Duryodhana was so angry that he took the side, apparently the side of the Pandavas, that he ordered Krishna to be captured and thrown into prison. He said to Dushasan to come and bind Krishna. Now Krishna at that time showed a partial manifestation of the universal form. Dushasan came there and wanted to attack the Lord and bind him and throw him into the prison. But there were many, many arms. Not just one arm, not just 18 arms, and countless number of arms. So he foolishly asked, which arm should I bind, please? So some members in the assembly were more enlightened. They could see, wow, we see the Vishwarupa, the universal form. And this came to the ears of the blind Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra all of a sudden became highly active. What? Vasudeva has shown a universal form? Then he turned with his blind eyes towards Krishna. Only one time in my life, let me see your glory, please. Let me see. I cannot see. Let me see your glory. Whereas Duryodhana was busy still saying, no, the Vasudeva, you're just doing some mystical yogi tricks here. His father got impressed. The blind Dhritarashtra. And Krishna said, I don't have to make you see. I don't have to give you healthy eyes. This is what I meant to say. I don't have... Just by my desire, you can see. Now see. Dhritarashtra, by the desire of the Lord, could see the partial manifestation of the universal form, which is something very extraordinary. The mercy of the Lord. Shishti Father is getting tired. Wake up, wake up, wake up. The mercy of the Lord is the active principle which can make even a tired man awake, a spiritually blind man seeing, a layman cross over the mountains. It is not a problem. And the Lord will give you His mercy if He sees just this little thing, that your Shraddha, faith, begins to sprout into some love. This was, my last point has not yet come, it will come now. My dear devotees, please rest assured that this must happen. Your Shraddha must sprout into love. Then you can surrender, not in a forced way, but in a voluntary and happy way. And I wish to make one, this last point. This can happen, this sprouting of our Shraddha. Oh, I'm also a Hare Krishna, I have faith in this, therefore I'm putting tilak on. This initial Shraddha can come, can come into love, develop into love, if you learn to respect, to appreciate the holy name. The most accessible form of Krishna, the most closest form of Krishna, the form of Krishna you have everyday contact with, the form of Krishna who can appear every day in your life, is the holy name. Krishna in the form of his holy name. If you do not learn to love the holy name, you will never love Krishna. If you continue to ignore the holy name, you will continue to ignore Krishna. If you continue to be bored while chanting the holy name, you will be bored with Krishna. The form in which Krishna appears, in this most merciful form, most accessible form of Krishna, who has many, many forms, is the holy name. And your Shraddha needs to sprout into love here. Very important. And it is also easy, because by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great inconceivable mercy, this can happen, will happen. So I have ended my talk. I hope it was thought-provoking. And relevant at times. How did you like the story of Lord Jagannath, who accepted even the offering of this very unfortunate devotee? Must be celebrated. Moving, isn't it? He has the love. He cooked the khichdi out of affection.
This Shadanagati is sometimes it seems so unattainable, so such a exalted position of being able to actually just surrender.
Yeah.
It's so unattainable that sometimes we just think that, well, there's no hope for really to be able to surrender. At least let me be dutiful.
Yeah.
Let me just do my duty and to follow the rules according to what I understand is my duty and my particular status of life, and then later on that Shadanagati, maybe that will be something I can think about later on. What is the, is that actually a, will that actually happen? Will Kartavya Buddhi, will that dutiful nature, will it eventually develop into Shadanagati?
It's a very good question. I will repeat it for the tape hearing posterity. Sometimes Sharanagati seems to be so unattainable At that time a devotee might think, let me do at least, let me serve at least out of duty. Now, will this dutiful nature eventually blossom into Sharanagati? One Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked a similar question. He said, it might not happen, because to do things out of duty is on the mental and intellectual level, but not on the spiritual level. On the spiritual level is acting out of love, not out of duty. It is duty, this type of duty which we are speaking of here, is something in this world. It is born out of convention or morality or righteousness or adherence to principles and so on. But these are not spiritual, but good material considerations. Good means suffering. But bhakti is not a matter of suffering. Now, this is one point to be answered, but there is another point, another perspective, which is very, very important also. And that is that acts which are from the activity which are from the spiritual platform, like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, these ninefold activities of the spiritual of bhakti, these activities, they have an inherent spiritual potency within them, which when done even ignorantly or unwillingly will act on the performer. This concept is behind the concept of agyata sukriti, that someone just does something even unknowingly and it works on him. Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandavas gives the example of a rat who comes on the altar and there sees a givik which is just extinguishing, it's just flickering out. So the rat thinks it's a piece of eatable substance, begins to take that to eat it, and by mistake lights the givik again. Sometimes we have a givik which is just going out, and when it's put in another position it begins to burn again. So this happens, and the rat is totally astonished and begins to shake the head to get rid of this givik, which by now burns very nicely, but somehow it has stuck to the teeth of the rat, and now the rat performs circuits towards the deity, and then due to intense shock dies from a heart failure. It just dies. So the rat then goes back home, goes to Vaikuntha. How the story ends. Why? Because it performed an arati unknowingly, involuntarily, but the act archanam was done. And this is the example which Jiva Goswami cites in order to bring forth that the activities of bhakti who are full of spiritual potency, and this is Shravanam, Kirtanam, and so on, that they have a potency in themselves and bring the performer to a state from where he can do them out of a purified consciousness, and slowly become involved in it. But just to do things out of duty, and mostly when we say this, we mean to do our service out of duty and so on, might not bring us to the level, because it's an intellectual and mental concept. However, if we do out of duty our rounds, our reading, and so on, we could come to it. But the danger of this duty is that one day even the most dutiful man will resist doing it out of duty when there is no taste. That is a problem which we have seen very often happening in our experience with.
Some become, of course, in South Indian Vaishnavas, they become very expert at Vaidhi, which is simply dutifulness.
Yeah.
And they actually, when they go to Vaikuntha, simply out by, that's some sort of prema.
It's something.
But if we're by the fact that we're initiated and we do our service, is that we continue that without fail, and eventually we.
Then we definitely will. But let us not forget, our service consists out of Shravanam Kirtanam. These are the most important instructions of the spiritual master. In other words, if we just work out of duty, which I think is not in your mind, it has happened very often in our society, that might not carry us the full way. But if we do all these other processes of devotional service, then this is stated in the scriptures, they will work on us so that eventually there will be some pain, for sure. I thought it was very interesting. So yes, by all means, this example of the wonderful rat is given by Jiva Goswami for a reason. He wants to make clear that the processes of devotional service do work, but it is also a very important principle that I think the answer of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very nice. I read it in the question and answer session. Bhakti Charu Maharaj once printed that answer. It makes clear this answer. What is really spiritual life? Our life must be done with the Atmarati, with the section which comes.